You know, I remind myself, you could work out anywhere, but the best place to work out is the gym, because there's people and atmosphere of getting down to business. You can pray anywhere, but the best place to pray is at church. So I'm so glad that you guys came, but I remind myself sometimes when attendance is a little slow. The utmost importance is working on myself. Jesus says, if these people weren't praising, the rocks would praise. It's not about we have to do it. We get to do it. If we didn't do it, somebody else would do it. But we get the benefit. I don't praise him because he wants to hear the praise. I praise him because I say, thank you, Lord. Live my life in misery, and now I have a modicum of peace. Thank you, Lord. I come to church not because I feel obligated to do it. I come to church because I refreshed, re-energized, ready to get back after it. So thank you for coming. And I want to continue on that idea of reassessing preconceived notions. Now, I got a very good word from Joanne. We met the other day, and she was telling me about this tattoo that she has that means, I'm going to butcher it, Joanne, but I'm going to try and say, the power of harnessing the small things, is it? Taming the power of the small. Meaning, we live our lives with a snowball effect, right? You start small, and things build on them, right? Ashley's going to spend 100 years getting her kids downstairs, but I'm going to tell her what I'm going to tell you what I used to hear from her and Dad when they would go bicycling at 4 a.m. Dad was a fitness fanatic, and Ashley was faithful to work out with him. So Dad would often be praying for people all day. Excuse me, I'm still got this throat thing. Would be praying for people all day, so he wouldn't get his workout in. So he would work a whole day and then, like, sleep and then wake up and work out at midnight. And I'd be coming home from the bar, something stupid, and Dad's cycling down the street. And they used to say to each other, something's better than nothing, and nothing is never an option. Meaning, you don't have to do a full marathon in order for your workout to count. You don't have to save all of the money to be successful financially. You just have to chip away at it. When we were looking at the back house or moving into the front house, the amount of work to be done, when you look at it as a whole, you can think, how am I ever going to do all this? But you chip away at it. And over time, the house is clean. The building is constructed. In the same way, our lives can be constantly renewed, refreshed, and built upon. But the problem is that as humans, we have this tendency to start really strong. And then things come up and they slowly fade away. Right, we're going to meet with each other and we'll have a Bible study every Wednesday. And we do it for a couple weeks and then 1 week, oh, sorry, man, I can't make it because of the blah, blah, blah. Oh, that's okay. And then we do it again the next year. Oh, dude, I can't. And then finally, next thing you know, there's no more Bible study. That's the way of life. Go to the gym. Everybody has their January, the New Year's resolutions. That's it. I'm going to get shredded. We're going. And by March, the place is a ghost town. How could it be? Because we have this idea of it's all or nothing. When instead, if we can just start small, more will be added. A personal experience. I told you that I was going to, I always pray in the morning. That I started small and I've gotten better. But I was going to start praying in the afternoon. The problem is that I go to Trader Joe's in the afternoon. And so after making all of the children sleepy and bored all day, I myself am tired and sleepy and bored. So I go home and take a power nap. And then ideally I would wake up and pray and then go to Trader Joe's. But sometimes I'm just too tired, or I would messing around on my phone. And so I had this idea of it's going to be, I do 30 minutes in the morning and I'll do 15 minutes in the afternoon. And I somehow couldn't even make that 15 minutes every day. And so after trying for 3 weeks to do 15 minutes every day and hit or miss, I was feeling very discouraged. So I started doing the last few days on my phone. I have an app that helps me with like my meditation. I log all the time, and they have like different time periods. So you could do like a 20 minute, you could do a 5 minute, you could do an hour long. And the smallest amount that you can do is a minute of guided breathing. And so I've been doing that. And wouldn't you know it, after I do the minute, I almost always finish and do the 15. Because when I thought about it, when I woke up, I'm like, I only have 30 minutes before Trader Joe's, and I just did the da 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 da. I give all myself all these reasons to not do the thing that is so good for me, and then I don't do it because I gave myself the reasons. But as soon as I start, just that minute, if after that minute, timer goes off, Jude says she needs to do the thing or whatever, something comes up, then at least I got that minute in. But when I start doing that minute leads into 2 minutes, leads into 3 minutes, leads into 4 minutes, often leads into 15 minutes. This is the way we approach our spiritual walk. Something is better than nothing, and nothing isn't an option. If you give yourself the option to eat healthy sometimes and not eat healthy other times, it's going to be very difficult. You don't have to be a saint with your diet or with your prayer time, but be faithful, even in a small thing. And the Lord says this. We're going to look at scriptures that back this up. The Lord will send us a helper, and he will lead us into all the truth, including the truth about the scriptures, in my opinion, Steve. So I said one time about the parable of the prodigal son. The parable of the prodigal son, the story that most people get out of it throughout time is that no matter what you do, no matter how poorly you live your life, God will always forgive you and accept you. And I think that there is an aspect of that to it. But I would also argue that it's that we forget about the good son. The good son has not squandered his inheritance. The good son has not put himself through hell. The good son is reaping the rewards of his good behavior. So the prodigal son parable can be read in two ways. That makes sense? So we look at the first scripture, Matthew 25, 14 through 29. Ashley, I was talking about you and Dad, and you missed it. So this is the parable of the talents. Matthew 25, verse 14. For it is just like a man about to go on a journey who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more. In the same manner, the one who had received the 2 talents gained 2 more. But he who received the 1 talent went away and dug a hole in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The one who had received the 5 talents came up and brought 5 more talents, saying, Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, Master, you entrusted me with 2 talents. See, I have gained 2 more. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master. And the one who had received the one talent came up and said, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, and gathering where you scattered no seed. And I was afraid, and went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours.' But his master answered and said to him, 'You wicked, lazy slave, you knew that I reap where I did not sow, and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would have received my money back with interest. Therefore, take away this talent from him, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have in abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have shall be taken away. Throw out the worthless slave into the outer darkness, and the place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.'" Jesus is not the slave master. Jesus does not reap where he didn't sow. He's not a hard taskmaster. Life is the slave master. And life will take from you even when you think you didn't deserve it. The message is, the person who is acting, the person who is moving, the person who is tending to business, reaps rewards and enters into the joy of the master. So if I give myself the excuse not to pray, not to do whatever positive thing that I am, then I, out of fear or out of laziness or whatever it may be, I stay right where I am. And wouldn't you know, the world has a way of throwing you out in the darkness. So for decade after decade, I sat back in the back of the church, too afraid, too arrogant, too ignorant to pray and to act. And the world threw me out into the dark. And let me tell you, there was a great weeping and gnashing of teeth. It's up to me. My dad used to give us the talents and abilities speech all the time. I tried not to roll my eyes, being an arrogant young man. I had all of this talent, all of this capacity, wasted. I dug a hole and I put it in the ground. And the world came and threw me out into the darkness. But the glory is, the gospel is, that as soon as I dug it up and started to get to work, I get to enter the joy of my master, the joy of life. In many ways, my life is busier now than it's ever been. I work 3 jobs and I raise 2 children by myself. And people often say, "Man, you must be so busy and tired." But the truth is, I love it, dude. When I'm praying, when I'm present and aware, I enter into the joy of my master. And the more they give me, the more I get. During spring break, I had the most amount of free time. That was when I was at my lowest point. Give me 5 talents. I'll give you 10 more. And I enter into the joy of my master. Your job is not what's making you unhappy. You are what's making you unhappy. Your marriage isn't what's making you unhappy. You're what's making you unhappy. The world isn't what's making you unhappy. You're what's making you unhappy. It's hard to hear that. People want to blame their troubles on other people. Kids these days, the media these days. That's not the problem, brother. But the glory is that you yourself have the key. You yourself have the talents. You yourself have the ability to step out anytime into the light and enjoy the presence of your master. You may only have 1 talent. Attain the power of the small. You may have 5. You may have 100. Tend to business. Do not look for others to give you what you already have. Your happiness, your talents are yours. The Lord has given us all of them. It's just whether or not we bury them in the ground and get on our phone. It's not the phone that's the problem. Bury them and play video games, bury them, and go out drinking. The alcohol's not the problem. Phone's not the problem. Video game's not the problem. Again, another scripture. Steve, this one's going to blow your mind. Hope you're ready. Hope you're ready. It'll melt your face right off. It's a parable of the sower and the seed. We all know this parable. Even people who don't read the Bible know this parable. The man goes out to plant the seeds. Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, before that. I'm going to look up the scripture, sorry. It is Matthew chapter 13, verse 1 through 17. That day Jesus went out of the house, and sitting by the sea, and large crowds gathered to him, and so he got into a boat and sat down. The whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seeds fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate them up. Others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much soil, and immediately they sprang up, because they had no depth of soil. But when the sun had risen, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. Others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And still others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears, let him hear. My entire life, I was told that the seed is the gospel, and the sower is the Lord, and he's spreading it out. And the dirt, the soil, are the people. And some people hear the word of the Lord, but they're hardening their hearts to it. And the ravens eat up all the seeds, bless you. Then other people hear the gospel and they accept Jesus into their heart and they're on fire for Christ. But because they didn't really accept Jesus into their heart, it just fades away. And yet others hear the gospel and they really do grow the seeds. But then the thorns of lust and greed choke it out. But then the real good people, they sprout up and then they start spreading more seeds. I'd like to offer a different opinion. I would say that we are all of the soil. The Lord is constantly calling us to do better, constantly calling us to work on our prayer time, to be a better father, to be a better teacher, to be a better employee, to be a better boss. And sometimes we hear the word of the Lord and we just ignore it. And the birds come and eat up our opportunity to grow. Sometimes we hear the Lord and we start real strong. My ex-girlfriend, Patricia, she and I used to work out all the time. And she always had like a new plan. Like, I'm going to run a mile and then I'm going to do 500 sit-ups and I'm only going to eat vegan, right? And she would just like go all the way out. And then after 2 weeks, it would all fall apart because it was like so strenuous, it's so hard, right? Some people say, that's it. I'm going to start praying every day in the morning, in the afternoon, at night. And I do it for a week. This sucks. That's it. Every Saturday, going on a hike with my buddy Emilio. No excuses. 3 weeks. Sorry, dude, I can't make it, brother. I got the thing that I... Next week, though, dude, don't worry about it. We're getting after it. Sorry, brother, I can't do it. And it all falls apart. How many good things did you start and let fall apart? Sometimes we hear the good thing. We hear the Lord speaking to us, calling us to be better versions of ourselves. But then the thorns of jealousy, of greed, of looking at other people about how they should change, choke out what once was good and becomes bad. But sometimes the Lord calls us into something good. And we hear it, and we react, starting small. But it grows, and it grows, and it grows. I have been all of that soil. I still am all that soil. But when it reaps, when it really plants deep, I gain the benefit. I cannot tell you how much it has changed my life. The people in my life close to me can tell you. My children can tell you when I'm driving in traffic that I've yielded hundreds of acres of crops of patience. Then we're punching the ceiling or yelling at the idiots or screaming out in terror when I see the long line at drive-thru. Don't they know that I want a double-double with cheese? Who are all these people? Aiden used to ask me, why do you get so mad? Why do I get so mad? Why don't you get so mad? Better and better and better and better. Growing and growing and growing and growing. My prayer time used to be such a difficulty for me. My dad gave me a 3x5 card, so I just read a paragraph. I couldn't even do that. Lord, please bless me. Nah, I'm out of here. But I managed to find a way. You can manage to find a way. This does not make me any better or worse than anyone else. I'm not better than some people because I pray more to them and worse than my dad because I don't pray for 4 hours. But my life has grown exponentially in ways I couldn't possibly tell you. I could stand up here rambling on and on. And you will not understand until you experience it yourself. It's the peace that passes understanding. I don't get it all the time, but I do get it every once in a while. Dad used to talk about how he would be walking and all of a sudden the trees would seem greener. The sun would seem brighter. The birds chirped just a little bit louder. And I thought, my dad's going crazy. I'm so sorry. It was a good shot, Dad. You had it going for a while, but... Trees greener, Father! Aiden, I was walking down the street the other day, and the trees were greener! Moments of peace where before I had none. Moments of patience where before I couldn't even stay... My son wouldn't even eat chips around me. Because I had so little patience. I'm yielding new fruit every day. And it enables me to find joy in everything that I do. Not all the time. Not all the time. Because I still have so much more to do. I still have so much more to grow. But instead of looking at it, like, look at all this work I got to do. I think to myself, look at all of this potential that I have. It's very easy to get bogged down in thinking about your life and looking at the wrong side of it. You could compare money, houses, relationships, marriages, and find places where I'm sorely lacking. But the truth and the beauty of the gospel is that I don't need those things to be happy. I don't need to convince anyone out there to accept Jesus into their heart. The sower goes out every day and sows the seeds. I'm going to plant it deep. The power of the small, Jesus says it time and again, the mustard seed grows into the biggest plant. The seed, a small thing, grows into something great. For years and years and years, seeds falling all over my dumb head. But I'm the one who decides to plant. I am the one who reaps what I sow. I'm the one who gets the return on my talents. I am the one who takes the peace that is mine. You have an opportunity every minute of every day to grow, Do not let the birds eat it. Don't let the thorns choke it. Don't let the sun burn it. This week, start small. If you already have a prayer time, add a little bit. Add another one. If you don't have a prayer time, start small. A minute, 5 minutes. It's not the amount of time that matters. It's the fact that you're faithful. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Come in. Enter the joy of your master. It's so good. This week, Daniel, this week, I have open house on Thursday. I work at Trader Joe's 3 days a week. I teach all week. I could look before me, and sometimes do, and think, there's nothing good. But in the summer, I get summer in 2 months, or in the next week, and then I'll get... Do you see how I rob myself of my current happiness by making my joy dependent on something good to come? I rob myself of my current peace and understanding by looking at the other people? I drive my car and I rob myself of the peace and happiness by looking at all the people cut me off? There was a woman who waited till the last second to pull in front of me and then drove 10 miles an hour. Before I would have driven up next to her and given her that look like, you know and I know that you did something bad. Now pay the price of my dirty looks. That'll teach him. I guess that's that. Looked at it that way, it seems so silly. But drive in L.A. and you'll see a lot of people. Oh, you think you could drive slow in front of me? Look at his finger. Yeah, feel bad about yourself, dude. That'll teach you. You're welcome. Ugh, some people cut the next guy off. They're not the problem. The fact that I have a lot of work to do this week is not the problem. Whether I am happy or unhappy, the problem is right here. And the joy is right here. The peace is right here. You may think of something very difficult. You look at somebody else's life and they're dealing with some terrible tragedy. And you think, how can they find joy in that? How can they be happy about that? They don't need to find joy and happiness in the way that you currently understand it. They find peace in the Lord, and the joy comes from the peace that they feel. It's not happiness like eating ice cream. That's the way a child thinks. It's the joy of knowing the peace of your master and knowing that that peace is not dependent on anything or anyone. You're bulletproof. It slides right off of you. There's nothing they can threaten you with. There's nothing that they can take from you. There's nothing they can give you. They can't bribe you. They can't buy you. Because everything that you ever needed, you already have. And soon as you understand that, really, truly understand it, it's peace. So tonight when I go to bed, I'm not going to be thinking, oh my gosh, I'm going to go in there. I bet there's going to be a kid who talks too much. Somebody probably didn't do their country report. Not Clara, though. Clara Deppendahl, high honor roll, did her country report. I'm sure of it. I could think of all of these reasons, kids that are difficult, bills that need to be paid, time that is not being played video games, and rob myself, or more deeply, in the middle of the night, I could wake up afraid and alone. What do I have to fear? Nothing. What do I have to gain? Everything. And when... And when I'm finally fully aware of that, the fear and loneliness melt right off. And there's peace right there, right then. It's glorious. It's so good. And it's yours. It's ours. We have it. Be blessed this week. Be blessed in all you do this week. Remember, just remember. Practice remembering. Start small. Start small. And it'll grow. When you start something good and it falls apart and you feel bad about yourself, remember. It always grows. When you plan to hike every Saturday and it falls apart, remember, it always grows. When you try your new workout or your new diet and it falls apart, remember, it always grows. And when you go to your job and your annoying boss or the difficult coworker comes, remember, it always grows, but only if you remember. Start the day, every day, with prayer. Not for me, not for him, he doesn't need it. For yourselves. Make sure it's every day. If 30 minutes is too much, that people are busy. Start with 5 minutes. 5 minutes too much, start with 1 minute. Start your day consciously aware of the Lord and his goodness. And then when you go, remember. And when you get that email that's difficult, remind yourself. When you're driving and the person cuts you off, remind yourself. So good. It's the best Sunday ever. All right, I'm going to close in prayer. I hit 30 minutes, Aiden. You're welcome. I'll close in prayer and then we'll sing and be dismissed. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your goodness. Help us this week, Lord. Remind us. Help us to start small and build on it and enter the joy of our Master. Protect us this week, guide us this week, and bring us back next Sunday filled with your goodness and reports of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.